the blessings
of honor and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dhyampi, Tatyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Sharanam Gacchami Dhyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Sharanam Gacchami Dhyampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Dandara, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, Gamini, Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without itself, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Virgaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the continent of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates illusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct jhana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tapyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. appear to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
This is different. We are recording this, and we'll see if we're going to make it available to monthly donors. But just FYI for those who are here. The last couple of days, we have been working with a group of facilitators, doing training them to be recording and listening trainers. And throughout that process, we have been looking at a new form of facilitation, which is recording and listening as a facilitation technique. So we've been training people to assist others with their recording and listening practice with using the tool of recording and listening as facilitation. And so what we're going to do now is to have, is to give our RL trainers an opportunity to facilitate and apply those skills that they have been looking at for the last couple of days, and for everyone else an opportunity to receive that. So if the trainers would stand up, please. And I think we might have to have Sherry and Jen and Scott and I also participate in order for it to be... Okay? And if everyone else would find a trainer and partner up with them, please. Someone you don't know very well. It's awesome. Do we have, does everyone have a partner? Scott's available.
Trainer's available.
I'm available. Jen's available. Sherry's available. Okay, Brian and Jen.
Yeah, that works better than this.
Sequoia and Sherry?
We hardly know each other.
We hardly know each other. And then Rebecca and myself. Okay, and do we use our recorders? No. So here comes.
Who's with Greta?
Krista?
Everybody wants Greta.
I can partner. Okay. I was going to partner with Rebecca, but I think we can double up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want me to double up, or do you want you to double up?
No, why don't you double up?
Okay. So I have Sequoia and June?
Yes, you do.
Both of whom.
And so here's how, please, you can find a spot.
Maybe spread out just a little bit.
Yeah. Can you record?
Grab your fish.
Yes, you can. If you have a recorder, you can record for sure. The trainers can definitely report if you want to, because it's part of your facilitation training. And so here's how it's going to go. You're in a group of one. The trainer is your trainer. You just showed up for your appointment, and you're going as you did to group, and you're going to talk about what it is that you are noticing, and your trainer is going to facilitate you.
So if they have a problem, can they bring that up?
They have a problem, they have an issue, they have an insight, they're excited, whatever it is, as if you are talking in group. And then you'll be facilitated.
Nishwini, will you let us know kind of when we need to?
I will ring a bell when we stop. And we're not switching.
Yes. A bell when we stop, is that at the point we should give the assignment or just the stop to have the whole thing done?
The whole thing done.
Okay.
The whole thing done. Sure. I have two. So shall we just go more quickly than okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is a whole appointment. So you can it's not like you just you'll just have the experience. The trainer will facilitate you.
Okay.
You
have to have a ballpark of the time frame in our mind.
We never do.
There's like they
being present
in a class or this is
just use the technique. Whatever technique, whatever tools you've learned for
the trainers. So it's just one person. So it's either an individual appointment or you've got one person in your group.
Yeah.
But it's just a one-on-one.
Yeah.
And if we finish before the bell rings, the guidance is
yes. Hang on. Maybe they have another problem.
All right. Say hello to your trainer and go for it. So I was trying to spread out the trainers and see to see if they could tell us what technique they used. Beth.
Use a direction of attention to gratitude as a first recording, and then a two-handed exercise. And then the question was asked, well, could the mentor respond to the gratitude? And I said, of course.
Uh-huh.
That would be lovely. That could happen too.
Uh-huh.
And then, so it was those two.
Redirection of the attention and the two-handed recording instead of the two. Okay. Anyone else? Laura.
This is just really fun. I think the first one was really just reflecting where she was at, and then introducing the two-handed technique.
Uh-huh.
And really giving her or offering her an experience of being heard by herself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Karen.
The first one was seeing what was so in this moment.
What was so in this moment?
Yeah.
The tool of what is so instead of listening to the conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the second one is I actually sent my participant to do the two-handed recording. I actually have her do it. But I didn't get to the part where she gets to listen and respond. It's someone that she really loves and cares about.
Okay. Anyone else? Jen.
similar to what Sim said, a lot of reflecting and doing the offering a way to use the two-handed recording within what was being talked about. And also a lot of just, you know, when it feels like when facilitating, someone is seeing a lot and a lot of insights, just so many reminders that are possible in there. Yeah. To be recording reminders, to be recording specific things that might be supportive in a particular, as, you know, we are going through a particular thing that we're going through, and seeing a lot about that now and realizing there might be challenges ahead. Uh-huh. And so recording from that place of insight now to assist ourselves as we move into whatever we're moving into.
Uh-huh. So would you say, Jen, that the process was to help the person make all of the recordings that would enable them to see through their process, the insight and the reminders?
Yes. And to what it feels like the recording and listening process is doing for all of us is, it's really Buddhism on such a deep level, isn't it? Because it's giving us an experience of the intelligence that animates is here in each of us, and that we're having an experience of being able to be guided by that. And so there can be this feeling of, you know, okay, here I am in this room with all of this support, great. And, you know, what about when that's not there? And to realize that there's so many ways to use the recording and listening so that we do have access to that.
Uh-huh. So training ourselves to listen to the wisdom, love, and compassion that is actually animating us.
Yeah.
Instead of having to rely on support. So it's not just that we can come to group and get supported, it's also that we train ourselves to be supported in a different way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead. Chris? So two-handed recording was one, and then we were about to get to making a recording, this is right when the bells ring, making a recording that would support a person going into an event that they knew was going to be stressful. So of either directing the attention or redirecting the attention, recording.
Uh-huh. Directing attention or redirecting the attention for something they already know has been stressful in the past, and there's the support going into that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Rather than having their attention drawn somewhere else, they can direct it to where they want it.
Yeah. To practice that in advance with the recorder, and then when the situation comes up,
that's good.
It feels like that would really give a person a better chance at not falling into the same hole that's been laid out in front of us.
Because it's a skill.
Exactly.
And so the recorder allows us to practice the skill for kind of those more, you know, in the moment moments.
Exactly.
Sure.
Part of what was so interesting to me, first of all, I love this because I love the simplicity of simply reflecting, and then the person has the tools. But what was fascinating is that working with the people who were recording, so not that it would work in a group probably in the same way, but one-on-one, so they're recording everything about what they're saying, and then that's being reflected, mm-hmm. and then the tools on top of that, uh-huh. And I project if I had been the recipient, going home and listening to that whole thing would just be astounding. So it was so rich, so much. I mean, it's almost a retreat in 15 minutes or whatever it is, in terms of stuff to work with.
So what I heard was the same thing that Jen was pointing out, that there's so many levels of facilitation that are happening. There's the facilitation that's happening in the actual interaction. There's the person's facilitation of themselves.
Yes.
And then the whole thing gets recorded so that when we listen to it, we're in that, already in the process of insight, of the intelligence facilitating the entire experience.
Yes.
And what better way of experiencing that we are the wisdom, love, and compassion than to receive the
the experience of that whole thing happening.
Yes. Yeah. And then I just had this fancy of the second recorder. So that the like the second time through with this, to be able to interact with the because more insights are going to drop in. And to be able to take it to a next level,
like a giant excavation.
Right.
Yes. You need to have all of these ways to be able to access the inciting process, if
yes.
you will.
Yes.
And the thing that we always talk about is the fact that we're having that experience is the transformation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which
and
is
that
one of those magical things.
Yeah. Which is why I had that little fantasy of the second recorder. Because it is the, as you're indicating, it's proof that the transformation is happening right now.
That reminded me of one of my favorite ways of recording that I stumbled on, which is that on my phone, I have a recording app, and then the files get dumped into I think it's Google Music or something. And so I can listen to the file on Google Music and have that playing, turn on the recorder, and it will record that file.
Wow.
And so I do this thing where I'm like, oh, wait, you got to hear this excerpt. I'm recording the next excerpt, right? So it's recording from 2 years ago. I press play. The recorder's picking it up. I press pause and go, can you believe that? Because blah, blah, blah. And so, and then I pause it and then, you know, say more stuff. And then you got to hear this. Or I do it with guidance appointment. So I have a guidance appointment with Sherry. And then she does this thing and I say, okay, now wait for this part. You're not going to believe it. And so I stop and say, and then today what happened? It was just exactly that thing. It's amazing. It's so
amazing. It's almost like another place for that mentoring to show up too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's kind of the experience the first time, and then from that kind of expanded awareness,
mm-hmm.
oh my gosh, look at this. Can you
right.
see? Wow.
Right. And it just builds on it, and you see over time, you know, all these things. That's what
I mean. Right, it goes over time, just what we were talking about, the excavation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. I use the two-handed, and I was so bummed that the bell rang, because it felt like that piece that I so wanted to add to do was just the support. So here's the place of intelligence, and how are we going to support the intelligence?
Uh-huh.
And so I just love, you know, hearing about this two recording of, and really, you know, not only bringing a reminder in, but making recordings of what is so, like, how the attention is going to the care that's needed, or the, you know,
uh-huh.
setting up some kind of a structure where at the end of the day, you know, how is it that I am doing da 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 da? Because that piece feels really key
mm-hmm.
as the next step.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm understanding you, the two-handed recording exercise brings up the wisdom, love, and compassion that can mentor whatever it needs
yeah.
to be mentored.
Yeah.
And then there's an additional step that you were encouraging, which is to recognize and record how the wisdom, love, and compassion is being supported.
Yeah.
Right? So that
yeah.
we have that,
yeah.
we can actually, in listening to that,
yeah.
follow the projection back
yeah.
and own
yeah.
the awareness that is, so to be in the process of caring, love, and kindness,
yeah.
because it's, we are in the process of caring, love, and kindness.
Exactly, and continue to add to that. And I did not get to do it because of the bell rang, but I saw that movement that would be the next place, because I could see if it's not there, it can get dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And because it is there, it's already there.
Yeah.
And how are we going to keep attention there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it in the awareness.
Keep it in the awareness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very fun. Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody. And I was just going to open it up to group and say, what did everyone else see? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, hi. I was astounded by the number of insights that dropped in such a short period of time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one of our skills is that expanding the awareness.
Yeah.
And once we, you know, direct the attention and expand the awareness, we get astounded by what the inside of that truck is.
Yeah, so the insight and process, I think that's a brilliant place to look and to practice with and to record more about, because or to get it somehow in a recording process.
Oh, that's good. So sometimes we have an insight and we're really excited about the insight, but what you're looking at is the process of having those insights be available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then to remember them.
And then to record them and to remember them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to sort of integrate that into our actual life through our behavior.
Yes, because there were parts of you that were just sort of fresh insights. Like, but it, I mean, I'm as I was sitting here afterwards, I have heard those things before, like somewhere, you know. Yet I don't remember them because conditioning is constantly talking to me about this topic, and then it drops in really fresh. It feels really fresh and new.
Yeah.
And a new way of doing it, or I don't know, you see it yourself, so you, you know, someone, it's like the thing someone can tell you, but you're like, yeah, I already know that. But then you actually have the insight yourself, and you're like, oh yeah, I could do that.
You're really there for that insight.
Yeah.
You're really present for the insight, and it's really fresh. And to have those things on the recorder, because, you know, it's one of the great things about recording and listening, right, is, as you said, if we're not in the conversation, if we're not listening to those insights, we're in something else,
right,
covering them up.
Yes.
So to have those on the recorder reminds us and maybe keeps us in that experience of freshness that you were talking about.
Yeah, and it was, so when a big insight dropped in was when the facilitator said something that wasn't direct reflection, but it was a idea based on a reflection.
Hmm.
So it was, then more insight kind of came. Like, it was kind of like a rolling of insights, like after that idea was dropped in, based on, after the reflection had been done.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just noticing the detail of it. Just,
wow. Yeah. Really subtle details of it. So maybe not a direct reflection, but kind of an idea or an offering based on the reflection. And then you notice that's when the insights were dropping in for you.
Right, but it really supported, it wasn't like an idea that was outside of the reflection in a way, it was still inside of the reflection.
I see.
It's hard to
explain. So it's kind of that process of reflecting.
Yeah.
And it was within that reflecting kind of process that really supported.
Yeah, and then like there was this flood of internal insights after that after the facilitator said that, you know, it was like, oh, wow, like, oh, yeah, this could all happen, like, this way, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. So just this flood of insights, and, so we know what you'll be doing in this group this time,
Recording and maybe going to the grocery store.
And practicing what we talked about,
So really, really, really helpful. I feel conditioning trying to control my excitement right now. You know, like, I just want to jump around.
You want to jump around. Yeah. We're in there with you. Thank you.
Rebecca. Well, two things that come up. One is that the last year when there was a recording and listening workshop and we did a similar exercise, I had a very, very similar reaction, which was, I think I even said it last year, this is so efficient. And what is that? It takes us so fast, so quickly, so, you know, it's the difference between dial-up and, you know, Wi-Fi. It's so powerful in that way. I mean, that's what was my experience again.
The facilitation is very efficient.
Yes. So powerful. And then
it's almost like direct access to intelligence.
Fast and direct.
PAI.
And then the second thing I noticed was so interesting and exciting to me, which was I genuinely lost interest in the content and was more interested in the process.
So I really lost interest in the content, and the attention was focused on the process.
Right. It felt like so often process gets pushed off the stage for the content because it feels so real. You know, so here's this practitioner who really wants to keep her focus on process, because we know that's where it's at. That's where peace, joy, everything is at that we're wanting, is in staying in the flow of the process. The content just felt, you know, usually it's like my foot gets caught in the door somewhat, you know. And it's not surprising, right? Because if the intention focuses process, then conditioning would up the content in order for the attention to be on the content, not the process.
Right.
And what happened was, in that facilitation exercise, was that was the content showed up first. Okay, good. They said we can talk about a problem.
Good.
You know. So there it is. But within 3 minutes of the process, it wasn't like, it wasn't like there was a trade or anything. It was genuinely like it just fell away. It totally lost its luster. Oh, I don't even want to talk about that. I wonder, ooh, this is good. The process.
And would you say, Rebecca, that the process that of the facilitation or what we were engaged in is in talking to the recorder about the content? It allowed for the attention to be on the process because it was about the content, not in the content.
Yeah, let me see if that makes sense. Yes, there couldn't have been a, now don't talk about content, talk about process. There couldn't have been that for that whole thing to work. Yeah. It was that, oh good, we get to bring this problem in. We get to bring the content. That was the first movement, which is the first part of the two-handed recording exercise, right? So there has to be a wholehearted green light, full speed ahead, bring me whatever content you want. Maybe it's fine, you know. And then in that way, in that what's the word?
In that movement.
Yeah, in that movement. There is an opening where process just naturally emerges as preferable.
So that turning on the recorder and inviting anything there is to be there allows for that automatic, we would say, disidentification to look at anything.
Yeah,
and be in a process view instead of the content view.
Yeah. But there's something, and I can't put my finger on it, maybe you can, but there's something about that, I'm losing it. What you just said. It goes back to being very efficient and quick and effective. There's something about that whole interaction or that whole tool that we're, the whole recording and listening thing that we're doing here, that feels like it frees that in a way that I just have never experienced it before.
Sure.
May I?
Yeah.
Go to the sidelines. Well, what I just saw, and what Rebecca said, that is critical for all of us, is that the content wants to jump out. Okay, I get to talk about a problem. Which is conditioning, making use of a human being to further its agenda. So yeah, you talk about that problem. You talk about that problem. And all the attention is going to be on what conditioning is doing, the problem. But what Rebecca noticed was that very quickly there was a loss of interest in that. And what I'm speculating, I hope all of you will check out and see if this is true. What's happened is that the authentic human being got to be there. And that authentic person did not want to talk about that problem that actually is in the domain of ego maintenance, but actually had a chance to be there and was fascinated by the process that, in this case, allowed her to be there and have the attention on her life.
Shall I accept that?
Yeah.
So I think what I heard you say, right, Sherry, is that the conditioned mind wanted to bring the content, which is the problem, into the arena, and that's in order to use the human to further its agenda. And what what happens is if the authenticity is allowed to be there, then the authenticity rapidly loses interest in conditioning problems and then is able to look at whatever authenticity is excited about.
Yes.
And what I was about to say is that the mystery of the recording and listening practice is that you cannot break down what actually happened. And that we have the experience of authenticity showing up, of authenticity being invited, of authenticity having the ability to heal, of wisdom, love, and compassion showing up. And that would, I project, point to the efficiency of it, that somehow the structure of the tool elicits wisdom, love, and compassion to be engaged in the process of facilitation.
Yes.
And may I add one little piece to that? That was beautifully stated. And the thing that made my heart just swell when I heard it was, it gets the attention on this human's real life, which has been so confused with the content. It's truly prioritizing the human's life, which in conditioning's hands has no priority.
Right. Thank you.
Cameron.
Yeah, the way that shift manifested for me was that I was instructed to do this, put the recorder in my right hand and talk about the issue. And so there is an issue that's very compelling in my life right now, content. And it's kind of been a mystery that is remaining unresolved. And so the person who got a chance to talk about that, who hasn't had a lot of chance to talk about it, except to herself and maybe to you, but felt compelled with the content. And as soon as the facilitator instructed to put the recorder in the left hand, there was a complete shift in the content was no longer what was important, just like what was said. And I felt this welling up of compassion and all, kind of like a emotion, kindness, caring for the person who was in the right-hand content. But the content was no longer the interesting part. It was that this person who was going to get a chance to participate now was already caring before she got the full, because she kind of had done this process, the exercise before. And so it was really amazing just to see the shift like that, so blatantly.
Yeah, you've done the two-handed recording before, but the shift, you just saw it so blatantly, it was just so clear. It sounded like you were just right there for it all, to watch kind of the compelling content. Okay, there's the focus. And then just almost just that literal movement of
the literal movement
to the left hand was that you're watching that shift and just that welling up of compassion and kindness and care. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you also really, like Jack, really got to receive that.
It was kind of pretty dramatic how that, I have felt that before, but in this particular case, the content was kind of compelling, and it seemed like I was really into that, And then it was just like, whoop, and...
Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It's just, this is really compelling. Oh, I get a chance to talk about it. It just seems so real that it's really compelling.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the shift, and whoop, oh, a completely different life experience.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't sound like it's very compelling anymore, as we've been talked about. You're just really fascinated by this compassion and process of compassion.
The process of caring, rather than caring about what's going on, rather than caring about the content of it.
Being here, caring in that process, rather than caring about the content. That's a very different caring, isn't it?
It's a very different caring, and it's more up in the head,
trying
to get the solution to the problem and get this thing taken care of, because it's problematic, and then the other was more like, gosh, that poor person being kind of stuck in that content.
That poor person really stuck in that content. It sounds like, then you really want to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, see how that compelling part to the content can just take all that caring, take up all the space where that caring could be.
Yeah.
And that compassion and kindness.
Yeah, it's coming for me because I can relate to that. I wonder if that would be a helpful recording to sort of outline that process. Because I suspect we often get caught in caring about the content and forget that's not actually where we want to live. You know, we want to live in that movement, in that process of caring. And that you really know that experience, and to be able to detail that experience on the recorder. It's not something up here, it's actually, that process is right here.
So, yeah, so I love this. This was great. And so the content seemed to be, I mean, that conditioning standards of how much I record and listen. And so the facilitator brilliantly started facilitating me and saying how when do I record and listen? You know, so I was thinking of all the times and all, and she was very supportive. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then...
So may I outline the tool that she used, though?
What was it?
It is to expand the awareness.
Yes.
Right? Because conditioning, when we're only listening to what conditioned mind has to say, what we actually do and what is actually so is not an awareness. And so by asking the question of how often do you report and listen, we're expanding the awareness to what is so and what is true, which gets forgotten if we listen to the conversation about how much you don't.
Exactly, because it likes to say that. I can agree with it because there are times I don't, right?
That's right.
So anyhow, but to say, to be able, and I know I can name when I do and when I don't, yeah, but to have it all, basically now recorded, but all, to say it all at once, you know, it's quite a lot. And a lot of good times, and I have a lot of good techniques, and I love it, you know? And it helped bring out to light the time, the places where I could do it maybe, and I don't say like it works as much as much unless something big comes up or whatever. And so I found that very helpful and very skillful. And I don't think maybe the facilitator knew more, but it just didn't sound like anybody was using any techniques. We just rolled it out the way it needed to be rolled out.
Well, and it's lovely, right? Because it demonstrates why recording and listening is so powerful. Is because in expanding the awareness, now we're listening to life. And all of the possibilities of awareness, of life, are available to us. So instead of it being, I don't record, I don't record, I don't record, and that being the focus of attention, which doesn't allow you to see that you don't record at work, but you do record in all these places, expanding the awareness allows us to see all of the possibilities. And when it drops in, oh, that's the place I could record, we're actually able to see it and receive it not through the process of criticism, but the process of awareness. And now it's just become, oh, well, all right, I'll see what I can do around work.
Yeah.
The whole thing is in that compassionate space of acceptance.
Yeah, it is. It's beautifully done. And then when we were talking, I thought of another place, another way, technique, and I haven't heard it so much, but we've talked about it, I know, at times, a long time ago maybe, and maybe we do now and I'm dismissing it, but that I really love, and the mentor does with me, and I forgot about it earlier, and I find it very helpful, and that's the one where the mentor, the other part of the recording, is a facilitation of it. You know, not so much just listening and then, but it's actually this person talks and then this person facilitates and then and the mentor facilitates. And I find that process very helpful too. And that's something I do, but it's something I've kind of forgotten about till we were all talking. So the whole
It's amazing when awareness is friendly what drops in. That's what we've forgotten, that which we can work on, that which we're doing well. And it's just, to me, the lovely part of it is that awareness can hold it all. Right? Not exclusively what doesn't work, which is in the world of conditioned mind.
Yes, it offers what does work.
So another technique, just for all of us, not to forget, since life is dropping in for you, then it's available to all of us, is that facilitation in recording and listening, where you go back and forth with the mentor.
We used to even like change the seat. Not used to, but that's part. We can do that, or we can change hands. So anyhow, so thanks. I'm glad I showed up here today.
So this morning when I woke up, it dropped in to make I Love You recording. And so I made two of them. I never done it like first thing in the morning, and I just whispered them, even though I'm in my hermitage, so I can't talk, right? But I just whispered them. And I did a 30-second one, and I was like, well, that was nice. I'm going to do it again. And I did all the variations of I Love You, right? So I made a 2-minute recording, so not super long. But then what I did up until coming to meditation was I listened to it in terms of transitions. So I read the record or the thing on the wall about when you're eating, like, kind of when not to listen to things, to be present, right? And so, like, I noticed yesterday, like, I ate an apple and just ate an apple. So what was really fun this morning was on a walk or any time that I wasn't really practicing being present, like, I just listened to these I Love You recordings. It was really moving. And it was really fun. I was walking up on one of the paths, and similar to what someone shared earlier, I had all of this energy. So no one was around, so I just started skipping. I was skipping, and I was picturing what my kids do when they're excited, and so I was just mimicking what they do. And I was like, just that, how powerful it is, what if that's what I'm listening to all the time? And I was watching myself, like, tune out. And then I didn't go, oh, wait a minute, no, I'm going to allow myself to listen to the I Love You, to receive it. And so it was really fun. I knew the number. So if the insight was brought in, go ahead, I'm sorry. I make a recording, and then I go back to number 98. Right. And just an insight dropped in, and I record it and go back to 98. You know?
Wow. Yeah. When you started off saying, you know, you just woke up and it just dropped in, and it sounds like that's the whole, you're just in that space the whole time. Like, it just occurred, I project, to listen to the I Love You during those transitions. And then, I can just be with this apple. I love this energy. What else? How about I skip? And then you just go right to that place of your children and that. I project that joy and that love with them. And it's just like, I could be in this place all the time. That's an insight. It's like, and then back to the number of 90. And then you're back you don't have to leave presence and love and joy and excitement and insight at any moment, actually. You could just live there. You did live there.
I did. But for the whole morning. And so what was occurring to me was, what a fun experiment would be to just continue this.
And you have the tools to support you to do that, is what I'm hearing. You just had the experience, I'm sure it's not the first time, and the insights are just dropping in on how to use the tool to support. Just keep coming back, insight. I love you. Make it an I love you. Wow. And here you are participating in group in that process. Very exciting.
Can I hear an answer?
Yes, actually. The thing that I was struck by the exercise was that the guidance or the training trainer was essentially a place to turn other than conditioned mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was really, really, like, I have this image of sort of learning to ride a bicycle and just someone there just to, yeah, I want to ride this bicycle.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, sometimes I don't know how, and so I, you know, turned to conditioned mind to get help on a bicycle. It's actually a really good metaphor, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's an interesting place to look to see if it's turning the conditioned mind that worked or not.
Right, yeah. Right. And so just to have that, like, okay, well, here's this tool. How do I do this? I have some experience with this and that. But just sort of like, just a place to check in without it being, you know, in my head or, you know, or thinking about it. Or what is this? It's a very, very organic interaction. It's just...
So if I'm tracking you, what you appreciated about the technique or the facilitation is it gave you a structure to, like training wheels,
yeah,
to learn about the skill of using the tool so that you can actually use it and have some of your questions answered and not to turn to conditioned mind as otherwise would be the only other alternative.
Yeah, this is a place of reference, just as, I mean, reference and reflection, kind of interesting.
Uh-huh.
Similarity there, but just that, you know, to, I would say, reflecting back just to my own heart, to my own authenticity, mm-hmm, of what's actually, you know.
Yes, so there's the intention that comes from the heart of wanting to ride the bicycle, and that is the space within which the interaction happens, and so even though there's direction on the tool, which is helpful, it's all a mirroring of the authenticity. Going back to what Sherry said, it's the space in which the authenticity is allowed to show up. The authenticity,
yeah,
gets supported, and the authenticity gets mirrored.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And just in a striking contrast to, okay, now think about this and then do it that way. Now, is this okay? I don't know. Let's think about if this is okay or not.
Uh-huh.
And just like, just none of that.
Uh-huh.
It's just like instant, mm-hmm, you know, instant checking in, like, in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really helpful.
Yeah, two things, Robert, when you say that, right, because I think, if I might project, the process we learn in recording and listening or in a facilitation is how do we seek guidance,
mm-hmm,
right? How do we seek guidance from a source that's not conditioned mind?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we show up in group and we put up our hands, that's what we're doing. And when we show up in a facilitation, in an RL training process, that's what happens. When we pick up the recorder, what we're training ourselves to do is to stop looking to the habitual group and redirect the attention to developing a practice of seeking guidance. And when we do, I also project that the experience you had is the learning process is fun, it's curious, it's supportive, whereas when we go into conditioned mind, it's a really, for lack of a better right? And that therefore there's inspiration and motivation to continue to seek that which has, to seek to learn from that which has our best interests at heart, instead of towards that clearly, whatever that clearly got.
Yeah. 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 Thank you.
Thank you. I believe that is our time.
A quick thing, okay? So this is a conversation that's been going on around here, and I just wanted to offer this to people, okay? So we've had some admiration of Francis, St. Francis, mm-hmm, those of us who've been around, and expressing that longing to have birds land on our shoulders too, mm-hmm, that we would like to be in that place in life. Some people are nodding, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it occurred to me that we are in training because flies land on us. And mosquitoes. And all kinds of things land on us. And so it might behoove us, if we're training up for the birds, to be more receptive to the first onboard. Just a thought.
Did you, Sherry, would you like me to just do a little bit of a recap on some of the tools we actually use? Since everyone here is a facilitator, or shall we just say adieu?
Yeah. And if people want to pursue this, then they can let us know, and we could probably arrange for them to
have a trainer.
Have a trainer.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.